Blog Talk Radio. The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
Okay, now before we get to business, I want to start out the show by asking if there's any attorneys listening. Please lend an ear. I have a friend. She lives in Wisconsin. She's going through something real big and strenuous in her life with her husband. Don't want to get into details, but she feels like she's been done wrong a few times. I would say these are federal crimes. I'm almost positive of that. She would like for me to reach out and ask if there's an attorney either listening or an attorney that wants to help in any way, if you give her advice or someone that can represent her. She feels just handcuffed in the, you know, city that she's in, kind of a small town, small thinking type situation. So I just want to use this time to please, if there's anyone out there that knows an attorney that might help a woman in, I don't even want to put a name or an umbrella to it. It's just, it's a bad situation she's in. She's been done wrong, that's from what she's told me. So if there's anyone out there that can help, please call in or write me on the show. And now we're going to get the show cracking.
Mystique Entertainment, a global network for your top source for live streaming continuous content, such as music, film, trade shows, lifestyle and wellness, and reality shows. For business inquiries, contact Mystique Entertainment. Info mystiqueentertainment@gmail.com.
The call-in number is 323-642-1757.
And now, the wondrous world of...
Hey, come to Los Angeles. You and your family can have peace and tranquility. Enjoy a fine day.
Hello, my name is Elaine, and I'll be your tour guide through South Central Los Angeles.
How to survive in South Central? A place where busting the cap is fundamental. No, you can't find a shit in a handbook. Take a close look at a rap crook. Rule number one, get yourself a gun. A nine in your ass will be fine. Even in your club compartment, cause jackers, oh, they love to start shit. Now if you're white, you can trust the police. But if you're black, they ain't nothing but beef. Watch out for the kill. Don't make a false move and keep your hands on the steering wheel. And don't get smart, answer all questions. And that's your first lesson on staying alive in South Central, kid. That's how you survive.
Hi, this is Elizabeth. Are you enjoying your stay?
Oh, man, listen, Ice Cube. Let me say this real quick. This is DC's Black and White, No Gray Zone. Thank you very much for listening. I took Ice Cube's advice on that. Keep your hands on the steering wheel, don't get smart. And Hungry still has his hand on his gun, so, you know, whatever. But you all know I love to listen to this song, Let It Fade Out. I love that song. It's just who I am, born and raised in LA. Anyway, I got a list of little things I want to get to, but I got to start out with the most important. Don't laugh at me. I got a toe update. Oh, my God. Listen to this. So I was spoken to. Let's just say I've been checked on the situation. Okay, let's just put it that way. All right. That, the way I talk about someone's toes in the air is unacceptable. So now this person has now backed out. Remember I told you, you know, she was going to get her toes done and allow me to take pictures, put them up on the air, and I can have the callers call in and judge or even take text messages throughout the, you know, couple of weeks. And I would apologize if I was wrong. If they were beautiful toes, I would apologize and never speak ill of them crusty crodads ever again. But I got swerved on, she said there's no way that she's going to allow me to put my feet on the air so that people could clown her. I said, hey, you can call in and get your fair time. She said, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, why is that? She said, because she said, you're not going to make me look like a fool. And I went, wait a minute. If, you know, your toes are up online, you can speak. I said, do you think I would cut you off? She said, no. I said, do you think I would give you equal time to speak? She said, yes. I said, so what's the problem? And she said, I'm not doing that with you. No, no, no. I don't want to be the brunt of your joke, blah, 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 blah. I said, it's not a joke. You came to me and was seriously talking about how nice looking your toes were. And I take umbrage with that statement. Because I'm not a toe fan myself, but I do know what pretty toes look like. And I don't see them when I'm standing in front of her. Let's just put it that way. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead. The subject is now dead, buried. I called The Undertaker up on the phone. He said he would bury it 6 feet deep so that not even her and her ego could get hurt by this situation. So now consider it a gravestone on the situation. I'm going to have 3 seconds of dead air silence. I only know that was 3 seconds. I could not laugh, you know. Anyway, you know, it was brought to my attention. There's a few things I wanted to bring up. And Ed, I hope you're listening. Ed is the guy who owns the station, and I talk to him through here sometimes because I think it's funnier than just calling him over on the phone or sending him a text message. I genuinely believe you yank back the curtain sometimes, and you know, you could have fun with it. You know what I mean? So anyway. I was brought to my attention that every time someone tried to listen to the show after it aired, right, not a live cast, but after it aired, like after 9 o'clock tonight, that if the phone went dark or if it cut off, that there's no way for that person to go back and listen. And I was explaining to him, I was like, okay, so what you have to do, and the explanation alone was ridiculous. I mean, no one... I didn't even notice, first of all, okay? And I'm on the station. But no one would just open up this app and know what to do. And there's no instructions. I just kind of feel like maybe this is in the infancy stage, this whole process that we're on right now. Maybe it is. But I'm hoping that the guy who runs IT is listening, and hopefully he doesn't have a massive ego or he's not a narcissist that can't take any type of, you know, criticism, because this is going to be constructive criticism. There's two things that I think we could do to make this whole show just so much more electric. And I'm not just talking about my show. I'm talking about everybody's show that's on here. You know? One, when you go to click on the show, instead of hitting that the middle button where it says play, you know, the first thing that you look at is you see the play button. Instead of hitting that, there's on the bottom right-hand corner, there's a little box with an arrow coming out of it. You hit that, right? A second window will open. And then when that second window opens, there's a little line where when you hit play, that's where you hit play, the second window. You hit play, and you'll see this little circular line moving right, very slow. And that's when you see the time start to decrease. And it tells you, you know, then the show starts. You can then drag that little circle from, let's say, from, you know, the start of the show to 20 minutes in. If that's where it cut off, boom, problem solved, right? Well, why in the blue hell isn't that already the way it pops up the first time on the first page? I mean, dude, let's just call this guy, I don't know. I like the name Sally Sue all the time. One of my friends told me don't make her Sally Sue on the show. She lives in Missouri. And I said, why not? And she said, that's Sally Sue. You got a bad connotation. But, I mean, let me think. So, let's call this guy Jojo Rabbit, okay? Yeah, Jojo Rabbit. Jojo Rabbit, why haven't you put what comes up on the second page on the first page? Why does it have to be so goddamn complicated? It doesn't have to be. Seriously, all it is you can have that little circle thing and the line sitting there. And the play button, already you hit the play button on the first page, like what people usually do, and then that line starts to move. Why does somebody have to figure out that little right-hand box? They have to play around with the system. If you're just trying to listen to a show, it makes it so much harder to listen to any show. And again, this isn't about my show. This is about every show on this station. Preferably, we're talking about DC's black and white, no gray zone. But we're talking about every show now. You understand? DC, black and white, no gray zone. Anyway, the second thing, okay? It's really, how do I say this? Okay, this is going to be a little bit technical and complicated, but JoJo Rabbit, you'll understand. Hopefully the listeners can follow. And this is the last one, and then I'm done off the technical stuff. But I'm hoping that someone, JoJo Rabbit, can make this work. Here's the process, people. I get on and I do my show, right? Ed sends me, well, first of all, I advertise my show. Ed sends me a link to that. Okay. Well, supposedly that link is supposed to open up tonight's show. So it doesn't matter if I do the show on, advertise the show on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, any day before today, if I advertise it, he sends me a link. Ed sends me a link. Now, that particular link is supposed to open up tonight's show. I said that twice just to try to make sure everyone's with me. Now, when I was testing it out this week and hitting that link, it did not go to, and it's hard to explain, but it'll, how do I say this? Okay, when I hit it, I'll just tell you, I'll give you an example. When I hit the button, the link, it went to a show that was 2 months ago. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? So in other words, I don't know at what point you hit this link that it shows, what's today's date, July 26th? Yeah, July 26th. At some point it does, but I don't know how the hell or when the hell it does. So how the hell is a listener supposed to know? You know how many times people tell me they're trying to listen to my show and they're listening to an old show that they listened to a few months ago, which is no good, no bueno. So Joe Rabbit, Ed, listen to me. Let me help you help yourself to help me. DC black and white, no gray zone. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying if we make it easy, where I'll give you an example. On the website, and I'm about to wrap this up, people, and this is, I know this is boring, but this has got to be said on the air. On the website, if you have DC's black and white, no gray zone in every show, boom, episode 1, episode 2, episode 3, all the way down, right? I should just have my own page. Why can't it be just as simple to go onto the website and punch in DC and try to find that? Man, it is the most complicated thing. I would have better luck finding my way down to Mexico blindfolded with a donkey leading me by my mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, the donkey tied to my mm-mm. Yeah, you heard me. Picture it. Funny, right? Blindfolded. Anyway, I'm just saying, we need to simplify this process. We don't need to make it hard so people get frustrated or they get angry or they're tired of the just the lack of common sense, it seems. Again, this isn't a cut at you, JoJo Rabbit. No. This is to help the show. Ed, I love you, baby. This is to help the show. Every show. Not just DC. Black and white, no gray zone. Okay? All right. Moving on. I'm done with that stuff. And now I have to start my apology from my last show. I started to tell you guys a story about JT, and I did not finish it because I got caught. I went down left field, and I went all the way left. So I'm going to bring it back, and this was a situation that I ran into with a supposed friend of mine, right, that this guy is the most tenderoni, butthurt, unmanly man I've ever met. This guy cries, bitches, and moans about everything that's said that's not about him. You heard me right. I didn't misstate it. Your ears are working properly. It's the most maniacal, mind-boggling thing I've ever gone through. But I said this last on my last show, and I'll say it again this week. I had made a statement about there's a picture of a bunch of people at Trump's rally, right? And they were like baseball hats, beards, you know, plaid T-shirts, you know, the Mensa members of America. Now, if there's no one here, if there's no one listening that doesn't get that was a statement of sarcasm, you really need to just turn it off right now. Yeah, I'm that type of dude. Turn it the hell off, man. Anyway. So I made that statement in a group chat with 40 of my friends all around the world. And I had said, some of these guys are millionaires. very eclectic group. Everybody was from a different world. Bunch of great guys that came together through my baby brother, Barrett. White dude I've known for like 25 years minimum. So that's that, right? So for whatever reason, Showtime Don, the guy I had on a couple of shows ago, and this bitch-ass JT started coffee-clutching about me. And oh, my God. Okay. You know, I had to... that's very true. And I'm sorry, I got to put a pin in what I was just saying. My friend that said she didn't want to be Sally Sue, so for the purposes of right now, we'll just call her Sally Sue. Yeah, that's right. I said it. Anyway, Sally Sue just let me know. She goes, what is Mensa? Some may not know. That's too funny. Because to me, really, if you don't even know what a Mensa member is, you're just not going to get anything on this show. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's the, you know, we're talking Wall Street and stocks and everything else that, you know, some would say Ivy League school person to talk about. I'm not, you know, but come on, man. Just because, the smarter percentage of people on this planet, it's a group of collective smart people, and not even of average intelligence. Let's just say they're above average intelligence. Let's put it that way. They're supposed to be genius level, basically. So the people that would be, I don't know what the top IQ score is. I think it's make 160. I could be way off on that. So that's that on that. So anyway, I'm going back to the story. So JT and Showtime, let's just call them STD. JT and STD are the only conservatives or whatever. And in the group, at least those are the more vocal ones. There may be others, but who knows? But with the president that we have right now, it's always an issue. You know, there were people putting up memes and putting up pictures and jokes and laughs. And so, you know, these guys are always getting their butt hurt because they voted for this jackass we have in office right now. Instead of them just saying it was a huge mistake, we're really effed our country up. It's like the type of people that have to dig their feet in the concrete further. You know what I'm saying? Because they just can't come out and say, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done this. This is a horrible thing. Can't believe we did this. How do I turn this around this year in 2020? No, not those type of people. So STD was the guy who actually contacted me directly, and we chopped it up, and we would argue sometimes, you know, on the phone or through WhatsApp or, you know, but we would have our conversations. And I ended up saying, you know what, I want to bring you on the air. And so I brought him, STD, on the air. Now, JT just wanted to be a punk bitch. I mean, he was feeling like he wanted to put on lipstick and lace. So he did what he had to do. And I'm not talking about a man who's lighting the loafers or got sugar in his tank. No. I'm talking about a man who has, I met his wife. His wife is beautiful. I don't usually go for a blonde white woman, but she's a pretty woman. I mean, and a body that's like, wow. And I'm not talking about them stick figures. You know, they weigh 12 pounds, look like an 11-year-old kid. I'm not talking about that. This woman's got a body on her. Like, whoo-hoo, anyway. And on top of that, JT's wife was a beautiful person. You know, I went up to their property, and there was an all-weekend festival kind of type of thing, and there was times where she was standing just talk to me. And when she talks to you, it's almost like you feel like she genuinely gives a shit. And it was like, wow, you know what I mean? Like, she doesn't need to know who I am or what I do or what I'm about, but she took the time. And by the way, we're talking about, maybe there was at least 100, I would say anywhere, and I know it's a big range, but anywhere from 100 to 300 people there at once. It is a ranch. It is a pretty big property, but still, that's a lot of people. So you can get caught up in, you know, you never talk to one person all day long. I did. Anyway, my point being is his wife is a beautiful person inside and out, from what I've known, right? I can't understand how she's married to this bitch-ass dude. I don't understand it. JT has really shown his colors. And this is the first, last, and only time I'm ever going to mention this bitch ass on the show. I'm done with it. I've been done with it for like 2 weeks now. But because I wanted to bring this whole thing up, I wanted to kind of recap so everyone understood who JT was and who STD was. STD I had on my last show, like I said, a month ago. Anyway, so JT decided, I told him, I said, basically, you keep my mouth, you keep my name out your mouth. And this is a guy who, honestly, my friend Barrett, right, he's the guy that created the 40-man group. Well, he's a multimillionaire. He sold his business for like, what was it, $340 million or something like that. And I've known Barrett before he had money. So I see him just as my baby brother, and I'm happy for my man that he's made it. He doesn't have to worry about money. I'm very proud of him, to be honest with you. So happy for him. But to other people who have met him post-money, they're a bunch of kiss asses. Now, I'm not saying everybody in that group is, but I can definitely say, without a shadow of a doubt, that JT is a ball licker. Definitely. I said it. Mic drop on that son of a bitch. Okay, I said it. Ball licker. That's who he is. After a sweaty day at the gym, with one hanging out on a bench that everybody else sits on. So imagine what type of germs are on that one ball sack. Yeah, I went there. I don't like the guy. I wouldn't even show him the respect of a bitch slapping him if I saw him in person. Okay, let's just say that. That I'll let you know. And I definitely wouldn't whip my dick out to piss on him if he was on fire. I think pretty much everyone knows how I feel about the some of them bitch. Okay, cool. So I said, hey, keep my name out your mouth. I'll keep your name out my mouth, and we're done, right? Thought we were done with it. Somebody else, oh, I know it was Barrett, that brought something up on the chat about Trump. Nobody jumped down his throat because everybody kisses Barrett's ass, right? So Barrett can say anything. Barrett can say F Trump. Trump is the worst president. He's a whatever. He can say whatever, and no one can test him, right? But if I said those exact same words, oh, their bums get to bumping. Ooh, they get brave like they had 10 tequilas, you know, 10 shots of tequila. They become, vigorous. And now, see, these people don't know me for the person I truly am, which is a guy who doesn't take any crap from anyone. I will use my mouth like a sharp knife through hot butter. I have no problem with that. But I've never had to go there with these guys. So you understand where I'm coming from? So, and maybe it's because I'm the only black guy in the group, too. That could be it. That's never been my go-to, you know, reasoning. But with JT, I think it is. Because there's absolutely no other reason why. And this is why Showtime Don was put on my show. I had him come on the show. But JT was a punk bitch who never addressed me man-to-man. He never talked man-to-man with me. He just wanted to keep saying, you called me a knuckle-dragger. Dude, I called the people in the picture a knuckle-dragger. I didn't call you one. But if you want to be one, then go right on ahead. Because you're dumb, and you voted for a jackass of a president. So, yeah, you are a knuckle-dragger. Now I'm saying it. And now I'm saying it on the air, dude. And I hope some way you get wind of this. Because my opinion will never change about you. You're a bitch. You're a weak, punk bitch. That's who you are. Okay? That's what I think of you. Now, for anybody that said, oh, well, you wouldn't say this to my face, or you wouldn't, shoot, please. I just don't care to look the man in his eyes because, I mean, to be honest with you, his mouth kind of looks like a woman's vagina. You know what I mean? Yeah, picture that, right? I can't go there with him. I have to knock out his teeth and go to work on it. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm being vulgar. I don't give a hell. I don't care. Laugh or don't laugh. I don't care. This is the last time I'm going to mention it, and I'm done with it when I'm done with it. So moving on to the next thing. Barrett said something. No one jumped on him. I said something maybe a week later, and people go, oh, well, I thought we were done talking about Trump. I said, calm down. Calm down. Don't get your panties in a bunch. Pull your G-string out your bass crack and let's act like we got a set, okay? Seriously. It was a comment, and what I put up was a meme about Tramp, right? That's what I put up. Everybody got all hissy-fitted about. Well, JT, with his bitch ass, decided to make a comment. Oh, real classy, man. Like, that was a comment, a half-assed comment towards me. That's the type of bitch he is. He won't even say stuff directly towards me. He does, like, cunty little comments, you know what I'm saying? And I can't. With dudes like that, I have no respect for them at all. It isn't about slapping a dude, beating him up. This isn't about anything, not no physical violence at all. I have to respect you as a man to punch you. He's a bitch-ass woman running around in men's clothing. That's who he is. I'm not even sure he has a penis. He might have a mangina down there. He definitely doesn't have any testosterone running through his system. So let's just call that what it is. So we move on from there, right? I get it. I say what I have to say. I come back at him. Barrett leaves the group. I leave the group. Because I was only there because Barrett sent me the invite. I'm the whole bunch of those guys I can be friends with outside of that group chat. So I'm cool with it like that. So we're done with that, right? Well, what happens next? The show, where it was supposed to be part two for Showtime Dawn, came up, right? And this happened, I think this happened the Saturday or Friday before the show. Or maybe the week before the show. That's what I think it was. All this stuff, turmoil went down with JT and I. And so usually when I have somebody scheduled for a show, I'll send them a text message like the day before. Hey, man, you know, can't wait to, you know, to spar with you tomorrow in the air, something like that. I didn't hear back from him, right? Which is weird, because every time I send this guy a message, Showtime Dawn, he responds. And the reason I'm still calling him Showtime Dawn is because I'll answer that in a second when I'm done with everything. So the whole thing ends up being basically like I call him. No, I didn't call him. I sent him a text like an hour before. I'm like, hey, man, are we still good to do the show tonight? Didn't hear back from him. So 5 minutes before the show, I shoot him a text on my last show, and I had a two-hour segment, right? I especially asked for the 2 hours because I had a multitude. It was going to be a hell of a show. It really was. I wrote down so many different topics and issues, and it was just going to be a question-and-answer type deal. You know, we wouldn't really argue about anything, but I just want to hear his thoughts. That's entertaining enough. Trust me on that. If you come across somebody like this, that's gold. Radio gold is what I call it. Anyway, didn't hear back from him. So I sent him a text and said, 755, I said, hey, man, whenever you get a chance, just call in. You know what I mean? You don't have to send me a text or whatever. Just call in because I'm going on the air soon. But you know me. I'm a motor mouth. Super confident. So that does not shake my world at all. You said you were going to be on the show. Now you're not on the show. You do a no-show. So I just say next, and I did a hell of a show last show. Might DC give DC's Black and White No Gray Zone a golf clap for last? Hell yeah! You know why? Because none of that was planned. That was all off the cuff. That's just how I roll. Okay. Now there's a few things I just want to wrap this up now. I believe. I'm sorry. I forgot one other aspect. The next day, which was Monday, 2 weeks today, 13 days ago, I get a text message from Showtime that says, actually, I don't want to misquote him, but I was going to go back and read the verbatim, but basically it's a short message. He's like, I couldn't find my charger for my phone. Oh, my God. If that's not the weakest, like, shittiest, most non-ballsy thing I've ever come across. So all of a sudden, everything breaks out with between me and JT. Before that, you did my show. There was no problem. I tell GT where he can shove the biggest penis in the world, and all of a sudden now his butt buddy won't come on my show. Doesn't show me the respect. So what I did was I just wrote cool back, four letters, and that was it. Now, if it was me that missed somebody's show, me that showed that disrespect, and me that wanted me to let my friend know, hey, man, I fucked up, my bad, blah, 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 I would have gone that route after somebody wrote that cool. Let's just say legit that that was the reason, right? Let's just say he only has one charger, right? And somehow, for a 36-hour period, he lost that one charger. Really? In 2020? In a pandemic? We're going to really go with that? That's the best my man could come up with? Wow. That's weak. Even if that's the truth, that's weak. Do you understand? I'm going to say it again. Even if that's the 100% truth, that is weak. Oh, my God, that's weak. But anyway, moving on. So, that was that. He never sent me another text. We have not spoken over the last 13 days. And so my attitude is now on JT and Showtime Don to, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin used to throw two fingers up. Not really anybody knows who Stone Cold Steve Austin is. When he throw up two fingers, one on each hand. I got one for each of them. Now, why am I still calling Showtime Don, Showtime Don? Because we all know that's an alias, right? I could be disrespectful and bring up my man's real name on the air. I wouldn't do that, though. That's not who I am. I respect the fact that he came on. The first time we did the show, we jousted, and it was a good show. And just because he turned in to JT Part 2, Bitch Made, doesn't mean that I'm going to turn around and slap my man in the face like that. We are not cool anymore. If I see him in person, I might say hello, depending on, the way I'm going to play it is if he steps to me and says hello, we'll talk. If he doesn't, I don't give a hell. And hell is not the word I want to use. Cluck, cluck, cluck. There you go. But replace the PL with an F. Anyway, you know, just because I feel like he disrespected me, and this is the thing that's really crazy to me. Showtime Don, it's almost like whenever they talked about me talking about conservatives or Republicans, they would always say, well, me and JT think. That's what Showtime Don would do. Me and JT think. I said, no, stop. Stop talking to me like y'all are Siamese twins, okay? I'm talking to you on the phone, so I'm dealing with you. If JT wants to call me, he's got my number. He knows how to text me. He knows how to contact me. And his punk ass never did. He just wanted to run with the fact that his little feelings were hurt. Little baby boy Blue got hurt. Don't talk about him. He's president. You bitch ass. Oh, my God. I don't think I've ever run across a man that I wouldn't even piss on. If we had words, I wouldn't even pull my dick out to even do that to him. You understand? That's how little respect I have for him. You know, it's just he's like a woman at this point. You can't slap a woman. You know what I'm saying? You can't punch a woman. So you just walk away when they run their mouth. That's what you do. You know what I'm saying? He's even less than a woman, to be honest with you. I can't even put him up there with women. That was a bad comparison, my bad. Because I've known some women that would actually sit here, if you have a problem with them, they'll bring it to you, to your table, and they'll say, hey, did you mean what you said, and did you know that I felt this way about that comment? And I would have said, which I did say, that comment had nothing to do with you. When I said it, that comment had to do with the people in the picture, just like everybody else, when they post memes, they put a comment under it. All of a sudden, now I'm speaking to two guys in a group rather than talking about the meme. Who the hell lost it? Who the hell took a number two and flushed the brains down the toilet that day and thought now my words were the two people that had nothing to do with the picture that I just posted? Everybody just loses. Oh, my God. Losing brains? Anyway. So, anyway, I'm done with that. Both of them can get the kiss my ass comment. And it's been really nice to be able to be in a situation where I feel like I can say what I want and deal with people on the air the way I want to, rather than trying to wait to see, you know, if this is the way it's going to play out and all that. I think 2 weeks, giving a guy 13 days is long enough for him to explain himself. And if he didn't do it, well, screw him. You know what I mean? There's no skin off my back. So moving on. I call this spring cleaning right now. This is my spring cleaning show. I have gotten rid of so many different people in my life in the last few months. And it has been really a relaxing and cathartic moment for me in time. Because, and everybody, when I mention something, everybody thinks what I say is about them. Okay? So think about that for a second, right? That means I must have the most eclectic group of narcissists that listen to me. You know what I mean? Because you can't make a comment without somebody, is that me? Is that me? Were you talking about me? Oh, come on, man. When I listen to people's show, I don't sit there and think, oh, was that statement about me? I don't know. I don't care, even if it was. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell? But, yeah, I've gotten rid of a few people, and I would say right now I can think of maybe 5 off the top of my head, and I'm sure there's more than that if I took the time to think about it. But I didn't want to give that energy to that, but I just wanted to say thank you for you being you, so that it gives me the opportunity to move on and leave you with nothing but the taste of my ball sack and dirt in your mouth. All right, moving on. I go about, and it's kind of funny because I don't have that much time left. It's kind of funny, but I'm going to go ahead and talk about religion. And this is something that I wanted to do for a while. I've had this kind of on the back burner. And I kind of just want to mention these things and make people think. That's all it's about. I had a friend of mine ask me, do you believe, hold on 1 second, I just got this. Oh, wow. Okay, I'm sorry. I just got this meme from somebody. It's kind of funny. No, it's not funny. But it's crazy. Anyway, my friend asked me, she said, do you believe in God? And I couldn't answer that in such a short yes or no. So I thought, that's a damn good subject. And I hope that I don't run out of time on the air. I don't want to rush it, but hopefully maybe for the next 20 minutes I can get it out in full. That's what I'm hoping for. So I'm going to take a swing at it. And if for some reason I have to end the show, I'm going to make sure that I remember where I left off. So I was born Baptist and Christian. I went to church every week. My mom was really religious. She made me go to church. Like, I'll give you an example. If I wanted to not go to church, like, I would, you know, go out to pray on Friday, go out to pray on Saturday, think Saturday night, you know, I'm feeling sick. No. If you could go out and play on Friday and Saturday, then you can go sit in church on Sunday. So I soon learned in my early teens that if I was going to not want to go to church, that I would have to start my sickness on Friday, which I did sometimes because I legitimately did not want to sit in a three-piece suit sweating, sitting still with all the energy of a young man that I had, just to sit there and be in a situation where I was just like, what the hell am I doing? Like, I thought it was so, there's so many different ways I could mention it, but I'll keep telling the story because I don't want to give an opinion that fast. But as a kid, I thought there were different ways. If you want me to really love the Lord and love and buy into this whole thing we call religion, I think there's better ways of doing it than making it seem like it's a punishment every week that comes around once a week on a Sunday. So my grandfather moved in, and I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but my grandfather moved in with us when I was 12, and he died when I was 15. And when he first moved in, I hated him. because he messed up my whole, you know, I had my mom and my sister kind of wrapped around my finger. I was the baby in the house. And he, within those few years, made me a young man. And he called me little man. And anytime I try to talk about him, I always start crying. And I can't. You know, it's been 33 years since he died. And I still can't talk about the man without breaking down like a little girl who's 3 years old. You know what I mean? But anyway, he was a really good man to me. He treated me and hooked me up in a way where he built. I felt like he was building a young man. And when he died, I felt like he was taken from me too soon. Now, let me explain to you. My grandfather was a minister. He used to preach sometimes to 15 people in a church, right? With these wooden chairs and, you know, nothing lavish at all. And my grandfather was about it. He really swore it up and down. Like, there's no question in his mind. So when he died, he had cancer, cataracts, and diabetes. And my grandfather was not fat. He was a thin man. Okay? He took care of himself. He never overate. So diabetes was just like, what the hell? You know what I mean? But okay, I understand. It happens. But it was a lot for me at 15 years old to process, to understand. And from that point on, I was very suicidal, by the way, when he died. I just wanted to be with my granddad. You know, I didn't want to live. And I talked about suicide. I never did an attempt, you know, but I talked about it because I was just so sad. I was miserable. I was genuinely probably the saddest point in my life ever. He died in the room next door to me. And I'll tell you guys a quick story. I think, I don't know if I said this on the air, but at his funeral, you know how you get up and walk around, you know, to view the body? I remember getting up, and then the next thing I remember was I was sitting down in the pew crying next to my mother. I don't remember seeing his body. And I walked around, and this is from what everyone else tells me happened in church, that I damn near climbed in the casket. And I started just crying. Damn, that's tough. You know what I mean? Like, for me, they said they had to pull me off of them and just a scene. You know what I mean? And he was just a good guy. He really was. He really was a good man. God, man. He's such a good dude, you know? But just thinking about this, like, it always hits me. It hits me because it was literally the moment in my life where everything that I thought was like tangible and real became like dust and powder in my hands. I don't know if you guys ever saw Endgame, the movie, but it's like when everybody gets dusted, you see a human being just fall to dust. That's what it felt like to me. Because up until that point, if you asked me, was there a God, I would never question it. I would say yes. I look back at that now, being 48, and I would call that a form of brainwashing. Okay? If you put a muffin in front of me and tell me it's a muffin, and I'm able to touch it, see it, taste it, eat it, smell it, it's a goddamn muffin. But if you tell me that for sure there's a God above us, the devil below my feet, heaven above, hell below, you know, it's almost like the blinders were yanked off my eyes when my grandfather died. Because it was at that moment I started to question it. My grandfather was tortured physically. He was depleted. He was a spry old man that never used a cane, a walker, nothing. He was always giddy up and let's go. In the summer, he was a man, and this is supposed to be about religion, but now it's turning into a memorial for my grandfather, and I'm sorry, but I'll just say this and move on. But my grandfather would wear a three-piece suit even in the summer when it was hot, and he would take his jacket and fling it over his shoulder. That's how classy of a man was. And I'm sure if he saw me in my Nikes and my shorts and my sweats, he'd be like, where the hell did he learn that from? my granddad wore a hat on his head. You know what I'm saying? A fedora. Classy man. Anyway, he's a great guy. So, moving on. That's when the spark lit the fire for me to start thinking other ways. And I was very angry with God, too, to be honest with you. I didn't understand why. I understand why someone dies. I get it. We can't live forever. That's not the problem I had with it. But why did you have to take his dignity, take his just everything from him? I mean, I told the story on the air before, and I'll just whiz through it real quick. My grandfather needed me to wipe his butt when I was 15. And I didn't even, he called me into the bathroom. He's sitting on the toilet, and I said, oh, hey, sorry, Dad. And I turn around and he goes, no, come on here, little man. I need you to wipe my butt for me. And I said, oh, okay. And I'd only wiped my butt in my entire life. You know what I mean? So this is the first time I'm putting my hand on my grandfather's butt, and I'm wiping him, and I'm saying, am I hurting? No. Get in there, little man. You know what I mean? But he was delicate and weak, and I didn't want to hurt him, so I was trying to be gentle. You know what I mean? But, you know, I don't want to get graphic, but, you know, you can't be gentle in that situation. You have to get clean. So, anyway, I loved him. He's such a great dude. And I think in my late teens, early 20s is when I started to go, wait a minute, there's no God. Like, why do I have to believe this? In other words, you got to understand something. When you grow up black, in a black family, you don't question if there's a God. That's like, oh, man. I mean, it's unacceptable, basically. Let's put it that way. It's unacceptable. It's unheard of. It's crazy. No one would ever question that, right? So I didn't even think it was a possibility to question that. I didn't think it was viable. I didn't think anyone would even pay attention. But once I got out on my own and I started thinking for my own, and some would say the Stockholm Syndrome wore off of me, I started seeing the world with clear eyes. There are child molesters, rapists, murderers, thieves and robbers who live a healthy and full life and die just, you know, in their sleep peacefully, some would say. My grandfather lost a lot of weight, and he wasn't even a fat guy to begin with. And he needed his grandson to wipe his ass for him for whatever reason. My grandfather's dignity was taken from him. And I can't very well be a man who's as logical as I am and anyway, so I started thinking this way, right? Started thinking, okay, well, you know, I'm not an atheist. I'm not a Bible thumper. What exactly am I? You know what I mean? Because my thoughts are this, right? I don't believe in anything I can't see, I can't touch. I'm open to the idea that there could be a God, there could be a hell, but I also see the Bible for what it is. It's a book. Simply put, it's a book that's been passed down through generations. Thousands of generations. This book has been passed through thousands of people, generations. I mean, each generation right now is about 80 years. But, you know, it was shorter back then. So we're talking about even more lives. even more generations, right? Because we're just learning how to live longer now. It's a book that I never questioned its existence. And as soon as I started really thinking about everything, I started thinking, wait a minute, this is a book that's been handed down. It even says edited in the Bible. It says it's been edited, revised. All these words mean the same thing. What do you mean revised? Did it happen or did it not happen? You know what I mean? Did I walk over with the bowl in my hand, or did the bowl float across the air from my hand to the other guy's hand? You know what I'm saying? There's some lack of logic in this stuff, because I guarantee you this, people, you're talking to me. This is a man, DC, who has read the Bible from beginning to end, okay? If I sat here right now in the air in 2020 and told everyone with conviction and a definity in my voice, and I said, I saw four brothers kill another brother over a coat. I know of a man who has superhuman strength because he has long hair. And when his hair was cut by a woman, power fell down on him because he lost his superhuman strength. If I told you there was a baby that floated down a river in a wicker basket, not a wicker basket made in 2020 now. We're talking about a wicker basket made back before time. I mean, we're talking centuries ago, okay? Eons ago. And the baby never flipped over. The basket didn't fall apart. I mean, what were they gluing stuff with back in the day? They didn't have Elmer's glue? Were they using paste and spit and leaves or something? Okay. If I told you that yesterday I was walking and I saw a burning bush talking, everybody listening right now would say DC is batshit insane. Everybody would, no one would have a question. They'd be like, that dude is off. But yet and still, it's in the Bible. Now they're true stories. Think about that logically for a second, people, please. I just dropped a bomb on you. Like, for real? Come on now. No one's questioning the Bible, the validity of it. No one thinks that this is weird. We're living on an earth that has Trump as a president. If this isn't, well, I'm right now, end of time seems near, right? Anyway, I started to see things a different way, and I started looking into it, and I found out that I agree with that I'm an agnostic. And what that means is this. If you were to ask me, what do I believe in, right? If you ask me, do you believe in God or aliens? I would say aliens. And I have reasons for this. Well, I'll go ahead and go by. I'll say questions and now I'll give you the answer. The reason I say aliens is this. We know there are other planets. For us human beings to believe that we are literally the only life in this on this one planet Earth, that no other society has figured out how to live. That's such an ignorant way of looking at things. We know about, you know, Pluto and Venus and Neptune and Uranus, and we know about all these, right? But what about the planets that are past that? What about planets that haven't even been named? They're so far away. How do we know there's not a full society just like us right now? And maybe they're walking around with three legs. Maybe they're two heads. You know what I mean? I mean, there are so many possibilities. To me, that's more logical and viable than believing there's some giant man in the sky who tortured my grandfather before he died, a man who gave his life, didn't ask for riches or fame. He just wanted to help people. That's who my grandfather was. So when anyone asks me, what do I think about religion? I think it's crap. I think people need to wake up. Stop drinking the Kool-Aid that everybody gave you. Listen, it's not your fault before you're 18. we're all kids. We all get taught Santa Claus is real. We all get taught the Easter Bunny is real, the Tooth Fairy. We all do. But at some point, we got to wake the fuck up and start seeing the world for what it is. Seriously. Wake up, everybody. Anyway, I guess I'm done. And if I, you know what? Oh, my God. I was talking this whole time, and I didn't even look to see if there were any callers. I got so into doing what I was doing, I have to apologize. If there were any callers, I'm sorry. Wow. Oh, man, that was a faux pas on my ass. I didn't even look. Man, okay, so I tell you what we're going to do on the next show is if anyone wants to continue the conversation on religion, I would love to take any Bible thumpers, any people that, you know, that are into religion. I would love to, you know, just bounce ideas off of each other. Not to be disrespectful, but to ask questions and come together, you know, and trade thoughts. That's what this show is about. DC's black and white, no gray zone. Anyway, I'm done. And now I get to play one of my favorite songs of all time. Oh, I forgot to say, fuck you, JT.
And now, the wondrous world of...
Hey, come to Los Angeles. You and your family can have peace and tranquility. Enjoy a fine day.
Hello, my name is Elaine, and I'll be your tour guide through South Central Los Angeles.
How to survive in South Central? A place where busting the cap is fundamental. No, you can't find a shit in a handbook. Take a close look at a rap crook. Rule number one, get yourself a gun. A nine in your ass to be fine. Keep it in your glove compartment, cause jackers, oh, they love to start shit. Now, if you're white, you can trust the police. But if you're black, they ain't nothing but beef. Watch out for the kill. Don't make a false move and keep your hands on the steering wheel. And don't get smart. Answer all questions. And that's your first lesson on staying alive in South Central kid. That's how you survive.
Hi, this is Amanda. Are you enjoying your stay in South Central Los Angeles? Or is somebody taking your thing? Drive-by. Okay. Make sure you have your camcorder ready to witness the extracurricular activities on Blacks by the Police. So you and your family can enjoy this tape over and over again.
Rule number two, don't trust nobody, especially a bitch with a hook of spot. Cause it ain't nothing but a trap. And females will get the jacks and kids now. You'll wind up dead. Just to be safe, don't wear no blue away. Cause most niggas get got. In neither L.A., Compton, or Watts. Pimp no black human being. Start thinking about a skip the sightseeing. And if you're nothing but a mark, make sure that's in before dark. But if you need some affection, mate, make sure the bitch ain't a section snake. Cause if so, that's a monkey with her. And you won't survive in South Central.
Now you realize it's not always cracked up to be. You realize that it's fucked up. I mean, nothing like the shit you saw on TV.
Yo, I'ma say what's up to DJ Chili Chill, 13. Ayo, you, these motherfuckers don't know what time it is. So show these motherfuckers what's happening. Show these motherfuckers. Don't fuck around and stop fishing. God damn it. Rule number three, don't get caught up. Cause niggas aren't doing anything that's thought up. And they gotta fight on everything from dope to stolen merchandise. We discern. Cause South Central LA is one big turn. Wait for a brother like you to catch a disease. And start slanging keys to an undercover with a wrong brother. And they'll smother a out of town motherfucker. So don't take your life for granted. Cause it's the craziest place on the planet. And LA heroes don't ride no guys off. They live behind doors. Everybody's doing a little dirt. And it's the youngsters putting in the most work. So be alert, stay calm. As you enter the concrete Vietnam, you say the strong survive. Shit, the strong even die in South Central.
Yeah, you bitches, I forgot about that.